afternoon. Today is Thursday, January the 29th, 29th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, kind of in a pinch-hitting role, but, you know, it's kind of, I guess, it wouldn't be homage to Ernie Banks. It would be more, we're at the bottom of the barrel and we found him again.
Oh, thank you.
Andy Mills, hey!
Shooting fish in a barrel or at the bottom of the barrel?
Well, you know, I could say something about the San Diego Chargers.
Ooh.
And who's playing football this weekend, but then you could bring up the 49ers or the Raiders. So, yeah, it's kind of like a stupid move on my part.
Yeah. Bad chess move.
Yeah. Let me put myself.
I'm going to be a Seahawk fan this weekend.
I think so. It'll be interesting to see how Belichick plays out, if he's a coach next week or not.
Oh, you think there's a question there?
I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of – well – we'll talk about this kind of stuff when we come back, but if your employee acted that way.
Well, that's a different.
So now you're Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
Okay, and he did do some monkeying around and broke the law.
Yeah.
Broke the rules and then lied about it. Where's that line in the sand? We'll find out. We'll look for the beach, let alone the sand, when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. This is from Elizabeth Drew in The New Yorker in 1987. Quote, people are very inclined to set moral standards for others.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
It's interesting, I think, for a lot of us, and I'll say us as locals. And we've kind of grown up in this drug culture thing. Maybe there was, the liquor cabinet type of thing, in your favorite citrus container.
Yeah.
Yeah. And marijuana was just starting. So for those of us who are pre-78 or just naive and kind of paying attention to what's going on in our lives, I thought we'd take the opportunity to kind of go through the whole laundry list of the stuff you guys are dealing with all the time and the communities are being impacted by. But maybe we do or we don't know what we're really talking about. And I suppose the glory drug in that arena right now is meth. What is this thing called methamphetamine?
Well, methamphetamine is a central nervous system stimulant that the physiological characteristics are that it elevates one's pulse, blood pressure. Frequently people won't sleep for days while they're binging on meth.
So it's an ongoing consumption during that period?
It's an ongoing consumption over a period of time. And you'll see that chronic users, people who are, heavily addicted to meth will oftentimes lose a great deal of weight, have very poor acne, frequently lose their teeth.
Kind of like steroids.
Worse. Yeah, worse.
So,
the chemical makeup of meth in and of themselves are all things that could kill you. Red phosphorus. Some people use Drano in the production of methamphetamine. Acetaminophen. You take all these individual things, and given the right combination, it could absolutely kill you. But now they put it in smaller doses and snort it, or smoke it, or inject it, or a variety of ways to get high.
Can it be made clean? Can that drug be made without Drano, but whatever the chemical is? I'm thinking more of the chemistry room rather than the janitor's closet.
Well,
is that possible?
No. There are several ways to produce methamphetamine. The most common ways that you're going to see, for the meth that's produced here is what's called a shake and bake, where somebody will get the basic chemicals and then do it themselves. And now they're going to produce a fairly small quantity of methamphetamine. You're talking, maybe an ounce. kind of deal. Whereas
that's for personal consumption.
Personal consumption. They may even sell it. Remember, a lot of people who are drug dealers deal drugs. They have enough money to actually get drugs. So, you know, if people are thinking in their minds that, you know, Miami Vice days of rolling fat and all this kind of stuff with a, you know, great big deal, big wad of cash, that's just not the case for the most part.
You realize you must have graduated about the same time to make that reference to Miami Vice.
Yes.
Thought I'd point that one out before anybody snickers too loud.
Yeah, people are out there probably, you know, crying and laughing right now. And then the other end of the spectrum are the super labs. You have super labs in Mexico, maybe some here in the United States, but out in the desert regions, where they're producing ton-level quantities of methamphetamine.
Now, that's a lot of Drano.
Oh, well, it's actually more than that. You know, a lot of the chemicals that are used to make methamphetamine are now controlled here in the United States. So it's very, very tough to get your hands on them.
Similar to some of the products used for bomb making?
Exactly. There's tripwires in place where if you go and buy, you know, so much of this particular chemical, you're going to, you know, be alerted to the DEA or to the feds. So those tripwires are all over the place. Whereas in Mexico, the same tripwires in place, but because of corruption, they can get in a great deal amount more of some of the precursors for the production of methamphetamine. So like, I don't know if you saw several years ago, there was a picture of a house in Mexico City where they went and raided the house, and there was $250 million in cash stacked up in the house. It was literally,
that'd be like hoarding.
Huh?
Almost like a hoarder.
Hoarder of cash. And it was literally the entire house was filled with cash. It was pretty heavily guarded, but when they raided it, they got all the cash and so forth. All that was going directly to China. It was a Chinese-owned house. Because the importation of the precursors come predominantly from China. They'll bring it over by ship. Whereas here, you're talking, you get a little bit. We used to think it was a big deal. We get a whole barrel full. That's nothing compared to the ships that are coming in with it.
So China has the raw product, manufactured and then distributed out of Mexico?
And then manufactured in Mexico in super labs and then transported up here to the United States and other places for consumption.
So the safety of the product doesn't register with anybody.
Oh, heavens no.
I mean, like the TV show that was running around, it was the high school chemistry guy, and he was trying to do
Breaking
the
Bad.
Best or this, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no thought process for some type of purity or whatever. In fact, I'll talk to some of the ER doctors and other medical professionals, and when I see them, we can tell and they can tell when there's a bad dosage or heavy usage of meth in the streets, because our the number of 5150s or the mentally ill will dramatically go up when you have a bad product out there.
KINS News and Information Times, 319.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon. Andy, before the break, you were talking about the international connection, Mexican, but also China, with meth. I guess the thing that I don't understand is where the demand comes from. Was this a demand that formerly would be filled by another drug, another substance?
Well, that's a darn good question. I'm not sure. Maybe some of it is just direct population growth. I mean, in the population in the when we were kids was probably in the mid 100 million, and now we're well over 300 million in our country. So maybe part of it's that. Some of it is that there's a lot of people, I think, that try to escape from the reality of their life, and maybe there's all kinds of sociological reasons for that, where they're trying to escape.
So maybe they'd be using booze before.
Maybe booze before. Maybe. We see a lot of addictions now that we didn't see then. I mean, I was talking to a parent last week, and they're telling me about their kids, how many kids in their high school are addicted to porn over their iPhones and iPads. And they're saying it's just completely off the hook, which I might add, if kids are sending sexting pictures of underage children, It's a federal offense.
Define sexting.
Sexting is taking a picture of a naked person and then texting it to the person, to different receivers.
Okay. So it's like email with an attachment, except
email with attachment. So okay. If I take a picture of a 14-year-old girl and I send it to, not me, but you know, if some kid takes a picture of a 14-year-old, I might want to clarify that.
Yeah. Be sure that one. Yeah. Take care of that one before it gets on the newscast. Yeah.
If you take a picture of a kid who's underage and then text it to somebody else, that's a federal offense, and there is no compassion for that. So it's child porn.
Same thing with an adult?
Adults are a little bit different category. Because child porn is a very defined crime. But, I mean, you can send...
So that is replaced, like, some of the goofy magazines and things like that?
Yeah. You used to hide Playboy. Now kids are texting pictures of, children to each other.
Hmm.
Anyways, we digress.
Do we have a lot of that?
Apparently, yeah.
Here?
Yep.
Well, that's a...
Brightens your day, doesn't it?
Nice little bridge. So with the method that is out there, are there any estimates what percentage of a population base is taking that stuff?
Well, I think there's three categories you have to look at. One are your real hardcore users, people that are just, slamming.
The ones you were talking about.
Firing up every day. The people, you get emaciated. You see them. They're pretty easy to recognize. Then you have your recreational users. The people who maybe a couple times a month party on the weekends, use it as a sex drug, which is pretty frequent. And then you have your rare users, people who will use it once in a great while. And so percentage of the population, it depends what you mean. You mean the hardcore users, I think that's a pretty small amount of our overall population. But you're dealing with ton-level stuff here.
If somebody isn't hooked or addicted to this stuff, why would they want to use something that's got Drano in it as a recreational every once in a while? I mean, it just seems too goofy.
Well, from the people I've talked to, I talked to a 15-year-old girl out at Cooper's Gulch not too long ago, and was speaking with her, and some of my guys had just arrested him for a crime, and I asked her questions, and they were up all night. So I said, "Are you using meth?" And she said, "Yeah, occasionally." Nice looking.
So just as a regular kind of every once in a while?
Yeah. Well, at this point, and I said, well, at what point did you look at some just strung-out tweaker with all emaciated, teeth falling out, hair falling out, looking like they're 90 years old when they're 20, and thought, that's who I'd like to be? And she goes, well, it's not really that way. It's more I just use it when, we're having sex and it makes you feel good. It's like ecstasy.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. And so that's the thought process you're getting.
Now, is that also the same that... is in, let's say, a 30-year-old who's using it recreationally every once in a while?
Yeah.
Okay, now when Coke was around, I mean, you would hear guys and gals using that recreationally. Has this replaced cocaine as a recreational option?
Yeah, it used to be called a poor man's Coke because it's a lot cheaper than powdered cocaine. Now, you still do see some powder cocaine, just not nearly as much as you did in the 80s and 90s. I think when it transitioned to rock cocaine from powder cocaine, that became the rage and became almost an epidemic nationwide.
And that's the same substance, just in a different form?
The same substance, different form, different processes used to process it. They mix it with baking soda, cook it, form it into a rock, and then they break it into little chunks. And then you smoke those,
okay.
And then that suggests it. It goes right into the lungs, and therefore it's a quicker high, much more intense, quicker high.
Well, the other going into the nasal passages where the membrane doesn't that get into the blood system as quickly?
Not quite as quickly. I'm not sure of all the physiological reasons behind it, but that's at least what I'm told. Whereas in what you mentioned though is similar to cocaine that way, and yes, a lot of people tell me it's a sex drug, and I've searched thousands of houses over the years, and I have yet to find a methamphetamine house, whether it's a lot of porn or sex toys and that kind of thing that go with it. And most people will tell you, it's kind of a sex drug.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. So, Andy, if coke is kind of the expense of meth or vice versa, okay, one is natural and one is synthetic.
No, they're both synthetic. I mean,
well, a cocoa plant is pretty,
yeah, but you're still
there's not that
dealing,
much of it in there.
No, there's you're still refining it with gasoline and some other things down, and you know, so there's it's not exactly like, you know, it's some purest drug.
Okay, now what about heroin and the opiates?
Mm-hmm.
Where do those fit into the equation?
Well, most of what you see here on the West Coast is called black tar or Mexican heroin.
Now, I can remember Ray Shipley talking about that in the early 80s.
It's still here.
Okay. And they just kind of look like little marbles?
No, it's even smaller now, almost like the size of a pea. And it's a very tarry substance, depending on how much you get. And there's a lot of heroin, tar heroin up here.
Produced here or consumed here?
Consumed here. It's produced in Mexico. And then smuggled here and other places. There are some who believe that Eureka is more of a way station that'll be stored here and then sent other places. I just think we have a lot of users here.
So we're a distribution center then for
that's what some would say. I find that hard to believe.
Now, somewhere in the recesses of my feeble mind, there was a reference made that because of the marijuana demand currently, that there's bartering going on. And marijuana is the end product desired. Is it meth that is being bartered for the marijuana? Is it cocaine? Is it heroin? Is it this black tar stuff? What is, or all of the above?
Well, you know, people, there are some who are just pure marijuana traffickers. Some, not very many.
You kind also, of like the boutique farmer?
Yeah, boutique farmer, you know, kind of deal. But you also have to remember, this is all about money. It's not about altruism or, you know, helping some person out with glaucoma or cancer. I mean, you know, maybe there's a few people doing that, but very, very few. So it's all about making money. And consequently, what you get are people who traffic anything. And so it's a little bit easier to move marijuana, less risk involved in moving marijuana. I don't think that the U.S. Attorney's Office is even moving on those cases. So consequently, we get our people who traffic in all the above. It's not just one or the other.
So that seems to feel right because of the press releases we get either from your office, Adams or Brent's or any of the different. And is always in there somewhere.
Right, right. Yeah, if you go back and look at our press releases, you know, regularly, it's, you know, and we'll be targeting people who are moving methamphetamine or heroin. But consequently, you'll get that. You also see a lot of violence with this. I mean, look at the amount of murders in South County. You know, very small population, high level of murders. And
does that spill into our area?
It does.
I mean, I know there's been some goofy stuff in the last year in the Eureka area, but you kind of scratch your head and go, well, is it drug related? Is it not? Is there a direct correlation? You know, you guys don't want to screw up the investigation early, so you don't say anything. And then by the time most of us remember, it's already done and we forget and we're on to the next most exciting, gross thing.
Yeah, no, of the murders that we had last year, almost all of them had some nexus to drugs.
Dealers? Users?
Users, disputes over it, under the influence, didn't, you know, there could be a lot of reasons for it. And I don't want to go into specifics of each case because, I'm on a gag order on one and the others are, you know, two of the others are still under investigation, but you know, the double homicide we have.
Weak memory. Have some more Pepsi, man.
Yeah, exactly.
it must be weird. I guess that's, you know, we're frogs in the pot. you know, it's just kind of come up around us. Hey, here you come from, you know, down south where this stuff's prevalent, and you think you're coming to paradise.
It is paradise.
And paradise has been invaded.
Yeah.
And it's a different scenario. The activity level with drugs in our area, does it still stun you?
Yes. The overall complexion of the drug trafficking trade up here is amazing. You have Bulgarians working fields in South County that are just flat-out organized crime, in my opinion. You've got high-level traffickers who probably have MBAs that have come up here just to pure money. You have also people who are the boutique farmer that we mentioned who want to, you know, grow, you know, an acre's worth of pot and just live off that. It's a very complex dynamic thing. These are big policy issues that really need to be wrestled with, and I want to make sure that we as a community and we as a police department are thinking 2-3 years ahead and saying, this train is coming down the road. What's it going to look like when Philip Morris buys up half the mountain?
Well, you heard the governor in Colorado a week and a half ago said, you know, I really wish this hadn't been legal. I hate being out in front on this thing, and we're having to learn
the lessons,
all the problems, and some of those things associated with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back with Andy Mills. Andy, as we look at the drug picture in our area, obviously marijuana is the lead dog on the train right now. You mentioned RJR. I don't think they're going to keep it here. I think they're going to make it a row crop down south. I
mean, very
it's just
possible.
Too simple. But as you look at the drug influence in our area, the homeless in our area, and I don't think there's anybody who says we don't have an inordinately high percentage of both. Is it a 1-to-1? Is it a 1-to-2? What is the ratio? When you guys are talking to the homeless, how many are connected into the drug trafficking, drug trade, drug culture somehow?
Well, again, there's different types. You have what some call the trimmigrants, the people who come out here for the purpose of trimming marijuana and, you know, making a little cash and smoking as much hooch as they can. And some wind up staying here, getting abandoned here, getting stiffed by the growers and don't get their money. So then somebody else has got to send them home, which we have programs for that. And some are just drug addicts who are just, you know, they got left out of the 60s and 70s and are still here, out there in the weeds. From our survey, no pun intended.
Oh, bull.
Yeah. From our survey, going out and talking to these folks individually, 80%+ have heavy substance abuse problems of the homeless.
So are we a magnet, or is this just an area where drug culture is, I guess, celebrated? I mean, it's more than tolerated. Celebrated, I guess, would be the next step.
Yeah, I think that my impression coming in as an outsider looking at it is what happens is people come here and they kind of see it as, I've lived outside the law for this long. I'm not going to do what you ask me to do. I'm just going to remain outside the law. Why do I have to do what you tell me to do? Who are you to tell me what to do?
But why not go to a less populated area than this? Or if they truly are looking to be, you know, out in the wilderness kind of folks, why here?
The homeless or the growers?
That perspective.
Well, I think this is Humboldt has the name recognition. And I think that, it's almost a brand, a Humboldt brand. And that's why I think that the bigger companies may come here is because this is a well-known brand throughout the United States and maybe out the world. And so I think they see that as a marketing effect. So I think that there's the people who are here, and they're, like you said, they're proud of what they do. And but I also think it's caused us a lot of chaos.
Is there a drug that's out there that you're concerned about that hasn't mainstreamed yet?
Yeah, there's a couple. Bath salts. I know people have talked about that. which is not really bath salts. It's just a chemical that looks like bath salts. That's why it's called that way. I have just seen, like meth, people wig out, and they are very, very difficult to control without injuring them or injuring officers. And so when you see somebody flipped out on meth, I mean, I'm 6'1", you know, 220 on a really, really good day. 230.
Is that the 6'1"?
Yeah. Both. Okay. You know, and I've fought guys that are 5'8", buck 20, and you just literally cannot control them without four or five guys piling on top of them. Back in the day when PCP was the rage, you know, it was awful. I mean, you'd be fighting with people rolling on the ground, getting splashed with PCP yourself, and the only thing that worked was a carotid restraint. Carotid restraint, chokehold.
Oh, okay.
Shutting off the blood to the brain. And
so they black out.
So they black out, then you quit getting them handcuffed. And I've had guys literally break their handcuffs.
No kidding?
I could tell you all kinds of stories. But Whoa. The point is, there are some other drugs out there that are just scary, but they haven't resonated.
They just don't have the traction? Are they too expensive or tough to manufacture?
Traction and availability. The last one is MDMA or ecstasy or Molly. Kids think this is just a good party drug, and it's used at a lot of raves. You'll see kids with things in their mouths, like little glow lights, because that's the cool thing, because it's like having an orgasm over and over and over. But what you find, according to scientists, is that that'll literally, because the heat of the drug will literally poke holes in your brain. And I mean, it destroys gray matter. But it is a very popular thing amongst the youth.
No, this has been an uplifting program so far. So is it education that is, I mean, or is it economic viability? I mean, what if you could fix it with one thing, what would the one thing be?
Well, we've got to stop the demand as a society, whatever that takes. I think some of it's education. I think some of it is people's lives are really screwed up, and we have to do something to fix that. And I don't have all the answers for that. I do think, however, is that people who are unhappy are going to reach out to a substance to try to find some level of happiness. And I think the community, the educational system, the churches, the family, all these things need to be bolstered in order to have success at this. But I can tell you this, the demand has to stop, because if I'm in Mexico and I'm producing tons of drugs, I'm sending it northbound.
You got a house with $1 billion in it.
Yeah. I don't really care what you think of me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for coming by.
Well, thanks for this uplifting time there.
Yeah, Brian. Another pleasurable moment. Well, hopefully we'll see you on Monday. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.